Welcome to the Ignite Your Teaching video podcast, a show to inspire teachers to level up how they teach using simple systems and time-saving tools for their classrooms. Are you ready to ignite your teaching?
All right, so there are teachers out there that are not given 100 minutes for their literacy block, and in fact, they're given 60 minutes, yet still expected to cover the exact same amount of content that those of us that get 100 minutes are. So this video is all about what to do if you're only given 60 minutes of language instruction and how to structure that time so that you can fit it all in. So the first is we need to acknowledge that there is a challenge here in needing to fit 100 minutes worth of language into 60 minutes, and that we're still required to cover the essentials of our literacy block, yet we're given significantly less time than other teachers to do so. Now, there's a few reasons that why this happens, and a few things that we can do to continue to provide a high-quality language program without trying to do 100 minutes worth of stuff in 60 minutes worth of time. So there's lots of reasons why a teacher might have only 60 minutes of literacy instruction. For some, it's in the context in which they're teaching, so they have a schedule that might predict that they might have less. There might be more things that they have to fit in. Perhaps if you're teaching in a religious school, such as a Catholic publicly funded school, then you were required to not only do language, but also fit in religion in English. You also are talking about those teachers that are teaching English to French immersion students. So you are given less time in order to teach English because the French immersion students are getting most of their language instruction through French language. And there's also just timetabling problems. Perhaps this year you're given just not a great timetable, and you need to figure out how you are going to timetable your subjects so that you can actually get and eke in enough time for language. And then there's the pressure, the external pressure that you might have, or someone's like, it's fine, don't worry about it. You could totally integrate your science and your religion and your social studies all into your language blocks, which essentially just means you have less time to do things in a day. You also may have things like prep coverage teachers that are coming in to take your class, but yet not covering a reportable subject during that time, which then in turn just reduces the amount of time you have to cover the same amount of content. There's lots of various reasons why only having 60 minutes per day might be the situation that you are in. There's a few things that we can do to mitigate some of these problems, find some extra time, and structure our literacy blocks so that we can still provide high quality teaching within that 60 minutes. The first situation that I find that is most common is teaching English to French immersion students. Now, typically in this situation, your French immersion students will be receiving more language instruction in French language and covering the French language document and not covering the language document. And then you, as the English-only teacher and teaching core English to these students, are provided the mandate that you are to cover the language document in significantly less time than your English-only counterparts would be provided to cover the same amount. Now, one of the things that you need to remember is when you're teaching English students that are in the French immersion program, you're teaching them English, is that while they are receiving instruction in two languages, there are many skills that overlap and are the same. So you have to be really strategic in how you approach what you spend time on and what you emphasize in your language program. One of the keys here is to look for some shared learning goals between both the French curriculum document as well as the language curriculum document. Looking for areas where there is overlap, where you know that your French language colleague will be teaching that same skill in far more depth in the French language than you will need to cover in English. So while I, as a teacher with 100 minutes of language, may have opportunities to dig in a little bit deeper in certain skills and strategies, it may not be necessary for you to go quite as deep on those as I would, because your students are receiving that instruction. They're just receiving it in French. Things like comprehension strategies, writing forms are going to be pretty universal regardless of what language they're being provided instruction, and that learning is transferable. So you won't need to go into the same depth as you would if you were only teaching them language and you didn't have that partnership with their homeroom FI teacher. So it's really important to look at the two documents with both you and the French language teacher and look at where skills are overlapping, where there might be things that would be common, that it doesn't matter, you're teaching conceptually what is happening, and it's going to be the same in English or in French. Now, there will be skills that won't be the same, that will be uniquely French or uniquely English, and that's where you should concentrate your time in what you spend the most amount of time doing. Doesn't mean that you don't cover it, it's just the depth and complexity in which you will need to spend your time on those concepts may not be as much as your English-only counterparts, because you know they're also receiving that instruction in their French language program. Something that would not necessarily happen with those that are receiving core French in a regular English program. Their focus in core French is going to be a lot different. Whereas in French immersion, you are teaching them language just in French. So they're teaching them how to write. So they're going to teach them writing forms. They're teaching them reading and comprehension strategies and all of those skills. So that is going to be something that you might need to touch on, but not go into the same depth and complexity as, say, your English-only teachers. So really, we're going to look at those overlapping areas inside both of those documents. And I find it's really important to collaborate with the French language teacher to come to an agreement where they are going to go into depth on these areas and you might not need to. Some of the areas that you may want to consider reducing the complexity in which you instruct at in English, core English, is going to be on reading comprehension strategies. While you're still going to touch on them and model them, you may not need to go into them as in-depth as you did with English-only students, because they're going to be getting them in two languages. So they're really going to consolidate both of that learning and see the connection between the French and the English and see that they're similar. Forms of writing, understanding a plot structure, understanding how to structure a report into paragraphs and subheadings, text features, all of those are going to be really similar. Whether you're teaching them the language of it in French or the language of it in English, they're going to understand text structure. So while you may review it and go over it, you may not need to spend weeks and weeks going over those skills because they're already spending the weeks and weeks in their homeroom core French or homeroom French immersion classroom. Media literacy is another area where you may not need to focus a tremendous amount of time. There may be elements that they are already doing in media. You may want to simply pass on that subject to the FI teacher because they may be covering it already. So therefore, if there's something they can do the reporting on because they have more time, you can negotiate that with your co-teacher to make sure that, yes, they're covering it and they can cover those expectations. They just happen to be doing those same skills, but in French. Or you can co-teach it so that they're teaching the same thing in French that you're teaching in English, and you just reduce the complexity of the assignment that you are engaged in, reduce the frequency of how many lessons you're doing on that topic so that you're still covering it, but not to the same depth and complexity. Cursive writing is another one. Whether you're cursive writing in French or you're cursive writing in English, you are still forming the letters in the same way. So that comes down to negotiating with the other teacher who is going to cover this and what they're going to do. In a 60-minute language block, the amount of time maybe you want to do cursive writing as a warm-up, maybe you have a cursive writing book that you share that has both English and French words in it so that students can see the connection, that's a great opportunity for you to collaborate and have the same, say, warm-up or early finishers cursive writing practice book that students can use in both classrooms, so that they can see the connection between both of those languages. Now, there are going to be some differences, and this is where the focus should be for those teaching core English. This is what you really want to be spending your time on and focusing on so that you can make sure that students are getting the solid lessons in English that is not going to be the same as in French. You know, they may be getting similar lessons, but the mechanics of what they're learning is going to be different. So you're really looking here at those core language skills, focusing on conventions. And when we use commas and punctuation, it's always great to be using in English. We're going to be looking at specifically decoding and fluency, making sure that students can read and decode those large words, especially in the middle grades from grades 4, 5, and 6 and beyond. We really want to get them to understand how to break apart larger words into syllables, prefixes, and suffixes, and allowing students to understand how to decode these larger words so that they can read them. Spelling, grammar, and the mechanics of all of that is going to be important as well, because it is going to be different in French. So we still want them to be able to read in English. We want them to be able to write in English. So we want to give them lots of time for practice in writing and in reading in the English language that will also supplement some of the skills and strategies that they're doing in French as well.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far, but I've got a little tip for all my fellow educators out there, especially if you've been scratching your head about how to streamline your teaching approach with the updated curriculums in Canada in grades 3 to 6. Have you ever wondered about a more structured way to roll out your literacy and math programs? Well, I want to introduce you to Ignited Literacy and Ignited Math. Ignited Literacy is a comprehensive full-year program that dives deep into reading, writing, and spelling. It's designed with a spiraled approach, and it's completely up-to-date and perfectly tailored for the needs of a junior classroom. I'm talking grades 3, 4, 5, and 6. And for those of you with math planning blues, Ignited Math is your answer to this. This program mirrors the thoughtful designs of Ignited Literacy, but for math. It emphasizes spiraling, integrates guided math centers, inquiry math, and even gives you concrete teaching lessons to help elevate your students' understanding of math. The best part? With Ignited Math, your entire hour-long block is set. No more endless planning or piecing together lessons last minute. So if you're on the lookout for the tools that are going to enhance your teaching experience, enrich your students' learning, you might want to give Ignited Literacy and Ignited Math a glance. I swear by them, and I think you might love them too. Check out more about Ignited Math and Ignited Literacy, go to www.ignitedteaching.ca. Enjoy the rest of your podcast.
Now, another problem that might lead to you only having 60 minutes is, frankly, your timetable just might suck. Now, this is a great thing to advocate at the beginning of the year, or in fact, now, as your principals are starting to look at what it's going to be next year, how they're going to staff things, what they're going to put when. Now is a good time to plant a bug in your principal's ear about what was not working about your schedule this year, what you'd like to see change. Do this in a way that's super collaborative and helpful to the principal, to give them that feedback of, you know, it was really hard for me to eke out enough time for language. Is there any way we could have maybe a larger block, a couple of days a week, where it's not interrupted by, say, this or this? Sometimes you're interrupted by prep coverage schedules, and there's always those conversations that you have, perhaps with the union rep, or perhaps there's a committee that goes into timetabling. Having those conversations that are open and honest and really supportive with your principal are very helpful, and making sure that when you do get your timetable, that it is actually conducive to teaching with the right amount of minutes. You can also look at adapting your timetable to make sure that it is working for language. So I always like to, when I first get my timetable, look at where I have large blocks and chunks of time. And that's always where math will go, is if I have a 60 minute of uninterrupted time, I want to do math. Now, language block, whether you're given 60 minutes or there's other time that can happen, I'm okay with splitting my language block in half, so that I do some of it one period and some of it another period. And maybe either it's broken apart by a recess or broken apart by a prep coverage, it's okay for me to split my language. Is it ideal? No, but if it means I can pull time from other things, then I will. The other traps that we often get involved in are doing non-curricular focused things during class time. And while doing things like morning meetings and class meetings are super important for building community in our classroom, we really need to look at how much time these are taking out of our instructional time, what is we're doing, and how much instructional time we're taking, and whether or not we can use that to have some assessment. So if you're doing class meetings, can you incorporate writing into that? Say a power writing where you're getting students to write a reflection on something you've talked about. Is there some way that you can use those class meetings for curriculum, so it is reportable, or language or something? Can you reframe when you do that so that there's a hard stop, so that you don't go over? It is so easy to run a class meeting and have it be completely sidetracked, and the next thing you know, it's taken 40 minutes when it should have taken 10. So see if there's a time in your day where you could put a class meeting where there is a hard stop so that you don't go over that time and allow you to make sure that your time on task is really important and that you are accountable to that and you have enough time for your language instruction, for your math instruction, for your science and social studies. So we want to ensure that every minute of our day is instructional. Now, this also comes down to the communication and organization of when you were provided prep coverage to really advocate for yourself and for your colleagues that all minutes of time your students have are instructional minutes that are reportable subjects. So if you have a teacher taking your class two or three times a week into the library and they're simply not doing something that's not, they're not responsible for reporting, really what's happening there is they are now reducing the amount of time you have to cover the same amount of expectations. Whether they're pulling in media, whether they're pulling in health, whether they're doing some language instruction, make sure that you advocate for yourself that any prep coverage teacher that's coming to cover your class has a reportable subject that they are responsible for that takes that load off of you. They could do religion, they could do drama, they could do health. There's lots of things that they can do within their time frame that allows them to use that as reportable time so that you are given enough time in your schedule. The other thing I would be severely pushing back on is any time you have an administrator or other colleagues tell you that you should be downloading other subjects into your language block. I am a strong proponent that when you have language, you need to protect that time and language pushes out into other subjects, but other subjects don't push in. There is plenty of time in a regular 1500 minute schedule. You have 1500 minutes a week of instructional time here in Ontario. That is our mandated instructional time. There's enough time to fit everything in. We just need to make sure that our timetables that are given to us are conducive to allow us to do that. That we should have 1 to 2 minutes of teaching or 1 to 2 periods a week of teaching science and social studies. I believe that if you are only teaching one, then the other, not both of them at the same time, this will allow you to carve out more time for language. Religion can find its time to be in health. You can find other times for it to be integrated with things like drama, with health, with arts. Not necessarily always with language. I understand that there's an element where you will be pulling in your religion into health because it does reduce that a little bit. But I think there's other subjects that you can also use a cross-curricular approach to make sure that you're covering those subjects as well. So where are you going to find this time? Well, I think it's important that we really pull down our daily schedule and look at what's happening. So the next question is, where are you going to find the time? Well, this comes down to really strategically looking at your time schedule. Like I said, I think it's really important that we look and find the large blocks of time within our schedule and look at where we can find time for math. I think math is the one that we really want to carve out first. Then we're going to look for some time between 80 and 100 minutes that we can do language, whether we're doing split shifts where we got 2 40-minute periods, whether we maybe do 3 periods one day and 2 periods another or 1 period another, we really want to get out enough that we're doing about 500 minutes, between 400 and 500 minutes of language instruction each and every week. So really planning those down first. Then it's a matter of looking at where you're going to fit your art, where you're going to fit drama, where you're going to fit music if you have to teach it. Otherwise, that should be a prep coverage. Most of us have music as prep coverage. When French is going to happen in our classroom, if we're teaching English students and we've got French coverage, when are we going to have that happening? That's going to be a hard-coded one. When phys ed and DPA happen in our classroom, and then when our science and social studies. So I like to have 2 to 3 periods of science and social studies. That's a shared period. I either do all science, then I switch to social studies, then I switch back to science each term. So I do one social studies and 2 sciences a term, which allows me to cover everything. And then I'm not trying to find multiple periods where I'm covering both that are really prep heavy subjects. So first is math, then I'm finding 80 to 100 minutes of language, and then I'm fitting everything else in. I really protect my math and literacy first, then it's science and social studies, then it's the other subjects that I have to fit in around those periods. I also think that it's really important to look at whether or not you're flexing your schedule. It's okay. It's not ideal, but it's okay to split your schedule. If you really are stuck and you cannot get past the 60 minutes every day for literacy, and there really is nothing you can do, we're going to talk about how you can make that work. But sometimes you can fix this 60-minute problem with better timetabling. So we really want to look at how that efficient timetable is there. So we're going to make sure that we're rotating through subjects, that we've got the prioritization of math and language first, balancing out our science and social studies, and then minimizing anything in our schedule that is non-essential subjects. So when are we going to, if we're going to do morning meetings, how do we make that reportable? If we're going to do them, when are we going to do them where we're not going to use them instead of doing our language? In many timetables that I see of teachers, there's lots of non-instructional time that is eating away at your schedule, that is meaning that you can't cover the same amount in the same amount of time. One of the largest things is too much integration. We often will get questions at Badly Learning about how, whether or not our language program has social studies built into it. And our argument is always that language should push out and not push in. We want to be integrating language arts throughout other subjects, not bringing those other subjects into language arts, and therefore reducing the amount of time we actually have to sufficiently cover language. We want to make sure that language is cross-subject, that we are supporting the things that we're doing in other subjects, but we need to have more than 500 minutes of time to do that, not less. And it also, when we bring too much into our language program, it dilutes our language periods. There's so much that we need to get covered in language. It's more important that we are using our time otherwise to do some cross-curricular and cross-over in terms of our subjects instead of always crossing into language. So how can you organize and structure your 60-minute language block? Well, I'm a big proponent of consistency in scheduling. That means that as much as you possibly can, let's try to keep your language block, however long it happens to be, as consistent and predictable as possible. This predictability and structure and routine is going to be really beneficial for you and your students because it's going to allow you to fit things in more efficiently because you get yourself into a routine and you're not starting and stopping every day, not sure where you're going. So really find that routine. It's going to be ideally really helpful for you. And it also means that you can be adaptable to changing up your learning blocks in your classroom. So what are some activities that you can do inside your language block? You can teach students spelling rules, morphology, and grammar. It's important to teach students how to draft various things of writing in English, as well as editing and revising to use some application of those mechanic skills that you're teaching them. You want to teach them how to publish their work, teach them writing forms and styles. However, if they're in a French immersion program, you may not need to focus on this as much because they may also be focusing on French language. You want to make sure that you're doing guided reading, whether you want to call it guided reading, it's really small group instruction. So you do want to do that because it gives you lots of extra opportunities for small group assessment. You want to be doing regular read alouds in your classroom, focusing on some reading comprehension, making sure they understand in English and have a good understanding of the things that they read, doing shared reading, as well as building up some oral language skills in English. Here's a sample schedule for literacy that follows this routine that we follow every week in our classroom. It allows us to have literacy centers, spelling and grammar, shared reading, and writing lessons. It starts out with a 15-minute on average rotation between four different activities each and every day. They come into your classroom, do a 15-minute warm-up or centers activity. They do centers activity one. Then they do a teacher-directed lesson for 15 to 20 minutes. They're really going to be looking at doing spelling activities, read-alouds, and a comprehension activity throughout the week. It's the same time block. That's a teacher-directed lesson. The focus may be different each and every week, or each and every day, but each week it generally follows that same structure. Then you'll do a 10 to 15 minute second center and then move into a writing, grammar, and morphology lesson structure that is consistent week to week. One of the ways that you can do this is by using Ignited Literacy. It follows this routine schedule. Now, as a teacher who's only got 16 minutes, Ignited Literacy is built on the 100-minute model. However, using these shortened timeframes, reducing the complexity of some of the things that you're covering will allow you to still adapt Ignited Literacy for a 60-minute model using tailored activities that reduce the time constraints, extending timelines for when things are due. So instead of having students write two pieces of writing per month, you can have them focusing on one good quality piece of writing a month because they're given less time in their centers to complete. You could reduce the amount of centers activities or just lengthen the amount of time students have to complete the same tasks. It also allows you some flexibility in your weekly planning, as you could do 1 week of Ignited Literacy, you could span 2 weeks of your time at covering 1 week worth of lesson versus what a 100-minute teacher would do is they would cover one week's lesson in 1 week time. You can cover 1 week lessons in 2 week times. So it gives you a little bit more extending your timelines. It allows you the adaptability and flexibility to fit your time schedule depending on what that might look like. So you can customize your week to fit it into what you need to do, making sure that you keep your students completely engaged, making sure with Ignited Literacy you would have consistent spelling, grammar, comprehension, and writing activities each and every week, and you would just be simply adjusting the time that students would take to complete that work and adjusting the amount of time you would have to teach them those teacher-directed lessons. So if you have a 60-minute language block, there's a lot of things that you can do to help you accomplish the objectives of getting through that language curriculum. You can leverage the overlaps that happen between French and English if you're teaching core English to French immersion students. You can use strategic timetabling to maximize the amount that students have with their language instruction. We're prioritizing reportable subjects and instructional time to make sure you are timetabling and using your time as effectively as possible throughout the week. Maintaining dedicated language learning periods that follow a similar structure and routine each and every week, so it just feels like you're doing a lot of the same things, and it makes it a little bit easier and more efficient to plan when you have a routine and a structure that you're following. And making sure that you can have an adaptable schedule that allows students the flexibility to take slightly longer to do the same tasks, and giving yourself permission that you don't have to do it all in less time, but you can just take more time to do the same things. Hopefully that helps give you an idea of how you can structure language in your classroom when you only have 60 minutes of literacy learning.
Teaching can certainly have its moments, so thank you for spending these last few moments listening to another episode of the Ignite Your Teaching video podcast. Check out our show notes or swing by www.madlylearning.com to dive deeper into today's topic. Now, if you ever feel like you're shuffling through the same old worksheets or just tired of the DIY merry-go-round, we get it. And that's why at Madly Learning, we have a range of high-quality resources just for you. You can explore them over on our TPT store or check out www.madlylearning.com/shop.